May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Paul's words about love from 1 Corinthians are some of the most well-known in Scripture. This passage is often read at weddings and also at funerals. But the love that Paul is describing is not sentimental love. It's not romantic love, Valentine's Day card love. This love is not dependent even upon a feeling or an emotion. Instead, Paul is describing the love that flows from God, the love that is God. Now, there's nothing wrong with having this reading in a marriage ceremony. But as one commentator I was reading suggested, it's actually more appropriate to a marriage counseling session. Because it is when relationships of any sort encounter difficulties that this passage is most helpful. Because it is a reminder of the kind of love and behavior to which we are all called. The measure of love, then, is its capacity for tension and disagreement without division. This is the kind of love that our presiding bishop talks about when he stresses the importance of our relationships within the Anglican Communion. This is the kind of love that has held the Episcopal Church together over the years through much pain and disagreement over issues such as the ordination of women and the full inclusion of all God's people, regardless of their sexual identity. And it is exactly this kind of love that was missing from the folks that were gathered in Jesus' hometown that day when he began his public ministry in the synagogue. You may remember that Jesus begins his ministry there by reading the words of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then Jesus rolled back the scroll and said to all who were there, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." So Jesus announces his ministry and his identity to his hometown crowd. And at first, they love him. But then, very quickly, something shifts. In the space of 9 verses, the folks in Jesus' hometown move from amazement to rage. They move from praising him to throwing him out of the synagogue. In fact, they were so enraged, Luke says, that they tried to throw him off a cliff. How in the world did that happen? Well, Jesus told them two stories from their own history, one about Elijah and one about Elisha, both major prophets. And these two stories have one thing in common. They are stories about God reaching out beyond their own community. They are stories about God's mercy and compassion going beyond the Jewish community into the neighboring communities. They're stories of God's healing and saving other people. So the folks in that gathering did not understand God's love. They didn't understand the abundance of God's love. They could not accept that God could love others as much as God could love them. That God had acted with compassion and mercy to people outside of their community. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. The truth, as Jesus spoke that day, was that his ministry was a fulfillment of the words of Isaiah. The truth was that Jesus was not going to just stay in his hometown and give them the whole benefit of his ministry. The truth was that God had a much bigger plan. God was not just interested in Jesus' people. God's plan was to send love and blessing and mercy and compassion to all people. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing, says Paul. Father William Menninger, in his commentary on Julian of Norwich, writes these words: "The ability to love God is given to every Christian and is the greatest gift we could ever have. Some people do have lesser gifts for the service of the church, but these have value only to the extent that they are coupled with charity." And he uses charity, and they use it interchangeably with love. This is why St. Paul tells us that we could have all manner of gifts, including speaking the tongues of angels, the power of prophecy, or enough faith to move mountains, but have not love. We are just noisy gongs or clanging cymbals. We are nothing. If we have love, however, something that is available to all, we have God, who is all in all. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love.